And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back. If you want to give us a call, talk to one of the best coaches in the NFL, Tony Dungy, give us a call, 800-878-7529. I dare you to get in on this conversation. It's worth $1 million to me. You know, your website says a lot about your company. Don't let it suck the life out of your product or your image. Check out a first-class web designer in Amerisync.com. That's A-M-E-R-I-S-Y-N-C, A-M-E-R-I-S-Y-N-C, Amerisync.com, or check out Head Games Radio, where you can listen to people like today's show, like General Pete Chiarelli from Iraq, head of all the land forces who we had on the show when we were there in Iraq just a month ago, Gary McCord, Marcus Allen, Dick Vermeil, Chris Berman, you name it. We're back with Tony Dungy and Peter Roby. So let's talk a little bit more, Peter Roby, about this. Is Tony Dungy's example of leadership antithetical to the past image of head coaches in the NFL?
Well, I think it's certainly not a consistent model of what people have perceived as being a leader of the men in the NFL in the past. And, you know, I think that's the wonderful aspect of it, is that the model is starting to change, you know, is that you don't have to be a screamer and a yeller. You don't have to embarrass and cajole and break people down in order to get them to play at their highest level and to be committed to the team concept. I think what Tony and his leadership style is teaching and proving is that if you treat men with respect and ask them to treat each other with respect and all pull the oar in the same direction to try to be successful, and by having team success, all the benefits that will come from that will lead to individual success. And you know, I commend him for the kind of person that he is and the leadership that he's brought to the teams that he's been involved with. And you know, I'm really hopeful that that his influence will be seen far and wide, not just in the NFL, but throughout college and high school sports and youth sports.
Tony, let's talk about John Wooden just for a second more. One of the things he said recently was, you know, he believed he did his talking in practice. You see today's coaches in basketball, and you see it in the NFL, yelling on the sidelines. And there are times when you have to communicate very clearly. But John Wooden's message was, I want my guys to pay attention in practice. If we do the work properly, and we also don't do a lot of scouting, which may be a little bit different than the NFL, if we stay focused on what we have to do, if my players listen in practice, I don't really have to say that much to them in the game. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that principle holds up even today, and it's something that I was raised on. My dad, very similar situation, took me to a high school game when I was in elementary school, and the coach was from our hometown. He was a famous coach. They won a lot of state championships in basketball, and I was excited to go see this particular game. Afterwards, I told my dad I didn't think the guy was a very good coach. He didn't do anything the whole game. And my dad said, that's the point, that you work Monday through Thursday in high school and you coach, and then Friday things take care of themselves if you've coached it right. And I've always tried to do that. And I feel like most coaching is really done in practice, and you prepare your players and then you train them to play and make those adjustments out on the field themselves.
Let's talk about a Dwight Freeney. You know, he was there Saturday night at the 101 banquet. You compare him with someone you came to know very well, Derek Thomas. Where let's face it, the defensive linemen who are pass rushers, they tend to be like our good friend Mike Bell, guys that know they've got to go off. They really have to be spontaneous in how they play the game. How do you help understand these players, make them feel motivated to be themselves yet stay within the team?
Well, that's the key, and every player is different. A lot of positions are different, and as you say, some positions require a certain type of personality, certain type of temperament. But the key is getting everybody to function well within the system and to play their best, but realize that it is a team game. And Dwight is a guy who's a unique talent, very, very skilled in one area of the game, but understands that it takes 11 people for the defense to be successful.
And what about
Nick, just
go ahead.
Just to chime in on that is that, you know, there's plenty of examples where players would potentially hear that from their coaches but not buy into it. And mm-hmm. I think part of the reason that Tony's been successful is because his players respect him so much. You know, it's when you ask guys to either sacrifice some of their own individual benefit for the team, or that you want them to be an individual, but it has to be in the team concept. If they don't respect the coach, then it's going to be harder for the coach to get them to buy into that. And, you know, how does that respect get created? How do you do that? Well, you have to do it on a daily basis. You know, it's what you say and do when nobody's watching. It's how you treat people when you're either in a group or individually. And it's the kind of respect that you give, and that's the kind of respect you get back. And I think that's been one of the secrets to Coach Dungy's success that I have been able to observe from my distance.
Tony, let's talk about the role of faith in your life. You know, so much pressure in the media today to want to be politically correct and not mention this religion, that religion, or whatever. But let's just talk about what the role of faith does in terms of the values, separate from the particular theology itself, the role of faith in providing the foundation for the substance, the respect that we were just talking about.
Well, I think it's very critical. As you said early on in this broadcast, you have to be who you are. And I know for me, who I am is really rooted in my Christian faith. Now, I don't have to use that to 24 hours a day, talk to all my players about, hey, you have to be a Christian. But I think some of the very things Peter is talking about, what are we going to do in terms of teamwork? What are we going to do in terms of being accountable to each other, living the right way, depending on each other? All of those things are very, very important to me because of my faith. And I think that's another reason that the players respect me, because they know I'm not going to change no matter what the circumstance is, whether we win, whether we've lost four in a row, whether we've won the Super Bowl. I'm going to approach them the same way, because the things I believe really aren't going to change.
And speaking of the kind of consistency that's so important, you have had five children with your wife, and you have been involved with mentoring programs off the field, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You've been very involved, Athletes in Action, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, many things like that. Let's play a quote from Phil Simms when we asked him similar questions about his role as a father, and hear what you have to say about that.
If I could do it over again, I would probably do it differently. Well, I know I would do it differently. I would be a little more involved. And more involved, I mean, guide my oldest son more, who's at Tampa Bay now, and tell him more about being a player, about what's going to go on at the next level, and help him with some of those decisions. I was always trying to stay out of it. I stayed back, and I let my son handle too much of it. And think about it, Nick. Here's my son, who had a lot of notoriety coming out of high school, could go to any school in the country. And my take on it was, I'm going to let him make that decision. Now that I can go back and think it over again, this is a 17-year-old boy. Now, what the heck were you thinking of when you were 17, Nick? And there's a lot of thoughts going on.
That's Phil Simms. Tony, we don't want to belabor what you've been asked a thousand times about, but because you've been so eloquent about talking about the lesson for this and what it's meant in your life, tell us, as you listen to Phil Simms, there's so much difficulty in achieving success, you know, in your role, in your career, and continuing to have that kind of success in the family itself. Plenty of stories about people that have not been able to be consistent in both roles. Tell us, as you look at where you are in your life now, you can't get over what happened at the end of the season with your son, but tell us, where are you with this, and how do you use it to your advantage in your life?
Well, it's certainly a fine line we all walk in terms of balancing your career, balancing your family, but that's a regret that I would never want to have. And I understand what Phil's saying. He might have done things a little differently, but I think none of us ever want that. And that's something that I encourage my players and talk to them all the time about, that number one in our lives is our family, and it's always going to come in front of football. And I think once the players realize that I'm serious about that, it really helps them relax. And when they have issues that come up, and when they've got family situations, we're able to talk about them, and they know it's important to me. And my family is always going to be more important than my career. And that's just the way I was raised. So I think getting that and understanding that is critical. And I think Phil was definitely right that we have to be involved, and we have to direct our young family. We always talk about directing our players and helping them grow, but you have family that you have to do that as well for.
Are you going to be able to take some time off this off season and just have some time with your family because of all that you've been enduring the last few months?
Well, probably no more than usual. I try to build in family time for our staff and our coaching staff as much as we can. We get periods of time off. I try to give our coaches at least 1 week a month off in the off season. We have from basically June 15th to about July 20th off, so we try to take 5 weeks in the summer. And we pretty much close the office down. We try to encourage guys to get away and spend that time and recharge your batteries and do things with your family, because we know we're going to get on a long haul from August to hopefully February that you don't have as much time.
Tony, we just got a few minutes, but once again, thank you so much for taking the time. It's just so refreshing to be able to go in depth, not just about the X's and O's, but having said that, who are the other coaches and teams in the NFL that you admire and that you think are going to continue to do well? Let's first start with somebody that you coach with in Kansas City, Bill Cowher.
Well, Bill, you know, has got a great situation because, number one, he's an outstanding coach. But going to Pittsburgh, that's an organization I know an awful lot about, and I know how Mr. Rooney runs that organization, and it is very family-oriented. They view the team as a family, and they want everybody to be successful, and I think it's just a great marriage of a tremendous coach and a great organization. I'm really proud of the guys that you mentioned, Herm Edwards. Lovie Smith was on our staff at Tampa, and I know he's implementing the same thing in Chicago, and his players have a great affinity for him. Rod Marinelli was also on our staff. He's just going to Detroit, and I think those guys are going to do fantastic in the next few years.
Finally, Tony, your most important goal for this coming season. You started off 13-0. You got the challenge, like Marty Schottenheimer, of being such a great coach but never having been able to take it to that final level. What are you going to do differently this year?
Hopefully not a lot. That's one of my messages to the team, that we have to continue doing what we've done, even though there's going to be a lot of people that say, well, the whole thing for the Indianapolis Colts is the playoffs and the Super Bowl. If you look at it that way, a lot of times that's when you will just have a little bit of erosion, because you don't take care of the things, steps A, B, C, and D, that get you to the playoffs and playing well. So we're going to have a good off-season program, be fundamentally sound in training camp, get our conditioning down, all those little things that sound mundane and boring, but it's really what the NFL is all about. And we have to make sure we're concentrating on that and not just saying, oh, well, let's wait till we get to the playoffs and then we have to turn it up, or we've got to do something different to win that big one and get to the next step.
Well, thanks for joining us, Tony Dungy, and just bless you for all that you are on and off the field. I know that Peter joins me in having a tremendous amount of respect and love for you and what you mean to this league.
Well, thank you so much, Nick and Peter. It's been great being on the show and certainly been able to explore some things that I enjoy talking about.
Bless you, my friend. Thanks again.